So let's get back focused, all right? Anyway, but last week we talked about what? Does anybody remember what we talked about last week? Building on the proper foundation of Jesus Christ, right? And, you know, we talked about not just building on it, but about building on the right things, building out of the right materials, so that way when the fire comes, the precious things are brought to the surface as opposed to just being burnt up. Well, let me ask you this. How can you be expected to build if you don't know truth? So I was looking it up on Amazon earlier. I was just curious. Any Lego collectors here in the audience? Anybody? Okay, got a couple. So the Lego Death Star, it costs about $1,000 to $1,200. It is 4,016 pieces. That's a lot of pieces. So let me ask you this. If you went and you spent the $1,000, 1,000 plus, on the Death Star, are you going to try to put it together without looking at the instructions? Are you going to try to put it together with somebody telling you that may have read the instructions at one point in time, and then they're going to try to sit there and tell you how to put it together? Anybody? You're going to spend the $1,000 and you're just going to try to wing it out? I don't think so. I don't think that's going to happen. Or are you going to take the instructions that the creator of the Lego created to put it together? That's probably what you're going to do, but yet we often live out our Christian life trying to just wing it. We're not looking at the instructions that the creator set before us on how to build it. Am I right? And ultimately, when we can look at the instructions, we can see what we are trying to build. We can ultimately see the direction that we're going. We can see what the finished product is going to be when we look at the end of the instructions. So the thing that we are trying to build is a dwelling place for our God. Right? That's what we are building in our relationship with Him. When we're talking about building on the foundation of Jesus Christ, we are building a temple, a dwelling place where God can dwell within us. So this is where we're going to be jumping into today in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to do two verses today, but I'm going to be jumping around throughout the Bible today. But verse 16 says this, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple." If somebody comes and destroys your Death Star after you put together 4,016 pieces, I think you'd destroy somebody too. But as we begin to read this passage, I think it goes back to the idea, what is the importance of the temple? Why is this temple something that is so important? So let's go back to when the idea of the temple of God came to be. So we are first going to start out in 2 Samuel chapter 7, starting in verse 1. So at this point in time, we know who King David is. This is a time of rest within the entire nation of Israel as they have gone through many wars, many battles, and David is now getting a time to sit on the throne in his kingdom and just breathe. So this is where we start. "Now when the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, 'See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent.' And Nathan said to the king, 'Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you.' But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, 'Go and dwell, or go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving around in a tent for my dwelling.'" So as we look, I want you to get the perspective of David at this point, that he had just gone through so much in his life. Let's kind of review that for just a second. So David was a shepherd boy who was ultimately forgotten about by his father, left out in the field when one of his brothers was going to be anointed king, when it was actually him. Then he went to battle where his brothers picked on him, and then he's like, hey, see that giant that nobody thinks they're going to be able to beat? I can beat that guy because God's on my side. Then he goes through that. He becomes married to the king's daughter, and then the king decides, hey, I want to kill this guy because I know that he is now God's anointed. So he goes running from place to place, hiding in caves, never knowing if he's going to survive the day. Then he becomes king, and now he's having to fight all the surrounding areas. Then we know about his failure, the way that he messed up, and the way that he came through that, the things that happened with losing his child through that situation. And now he has finally gotten to a place where he is sitting on his throne, and he has time to think. So I can imagine David is at a place where he is in recognition of everything that God had brought him through in all of the Israelites too. Because you think about where were the Israelites? They were in a place of slavery in Egypt. Then God promised them by sending Moses that they were going to this new land, this promised land that he had set before them. But up to this point, it had been war waging on to get the promised land and to get all the places around. So he is sitting there and he is thinking about this, and that God had brought peace and fulfilled a promise to all of his people. They were finally in the place of the promised land that God had promised a long time ago. And he was in this thing just thinking the idea, man, I am living in this kingdom. I'm sitting on my throne, and God's ark is sitting in a tent. Coming to that realization that he was sitting in this place of prominence, in a place of peace, in a place of promise that had been set before them, and God is still sitting in a tent. He got to the idea of recognizing that God needed to be in a more prominent place than where he was at. And that place was to be a permanent place for God to dwell in. As we begin to think about that, and I was really thinking, man, what does the temple mean? The temple was David's recognition that God needed to be in a more important place than where he was at. Not in a place that was consistently moving around, not in a place where it was just a small tent that covered it, but it needed to be in something bigger. It needed to be in something that was more important. It needed to be in a better place than where it was at. So let's jump into the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to read, start in verse 4. It says, "For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me, and burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure.' Then I said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book.'" Now, I'm sure you're like, what does this have to do with anything? So I want you guys to take into the perspective that when David was sitting in that place, there was a promise that was fulfilled for all of the land of Israel. Now, I'm pointing to the fact of the promise that was fulfilled for all of us. That Jesus was foretold about through the entire Old Testament, and now it's at a place where that promise had been fulfilled, that there was going to be a coming Savior that was going to save all of us, that was going to wipe away every sin that we've ever committed, that was going to give us the chance at eternal life, the promise of eternal life. So Jesus fulfilled that ultimate promise for each of us. This is where I want us to sit and think for a minute. We are all in a place where we can sit comfortably recognizing that Jesus had fulfilled that promise for each and every one of us. Through Jesus' sacrifice and resurrection, the promise of a coming Savior was fulfilled. That promise that we've been given, that promise that has been fulfilled, will forever change each and every one of us, and has changed each and every one of us. To the recognition of the idea that God has brought all of us out of where we used to be. We all, at one point in this life, lived in a place of slavery, right? To sin. But God said, hey, I promise you that I am going to send you a Savior that is going to bring you out of that slavery, out of that sin, to a place where you don't have to live that way anymore. This is where we are living now. We are living in a time where that promise has been fulfilled and we can be taken out of the slavery of that lifestyle. Out of that struggle, out of the sin, out of all of those things that are pulling us away from God, we live in that time where that promise has been fulfilled. That God has brought us through many trials with life, with sin, and with struggle. I think we can all recognize that. That if we really would take the time to sit and realize everything that God has brought us through. Think about the areas of struggle in your life. Think about what your life was like before you knew Jesus, before you had a real relationship with Him, before you understood the forgiveness, before you understood His love for you. God has taken you from that place into a new place. Man, that should hit all of us. We can think about every battle that we've gone through in life and recognize that God has been there with us. And God was leading the way to bring us through. Every sin that we've been in, that can be lifted off and taken away. We don't have to carry the weight of that guilt. We don't have to carry the weight of that shame because of the promise being fulfilled for all of us. Jesus' sacrifice allowed us to become the new temple where the Holy Spirit dwells within us. That sacrifice that Jesus made allowed us to receive the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit can dwell within each and every one of us. So, let me ask you this. Do you put God in a prominent place in your life? As you being the temple, is God in a permanent place within you? Or do you still allow Him to stay in the tent of your life? This is the challenge that I want to set before us, because right now I'm talking about the individualistic challenge of putting God in a prominent place within your life. Within everything that you do, talking about the idea of building right on the foundation of Jesus. The foundation of Jesus is giving everything to Him, to trust in Him fully, to have faith in everything in your life, and to build everything on top of Him. Let's go back into 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you... And I want you to understand, this is plural. This is talking about the church in itself, not just individualistic. It says, our God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells within you. This is our church body. That God dwells here while we meet together. And I want you to know that God wants to dwell here with us. Think about that. Think about the idea that God wants to be here with us. Does that blow your mind? Anytime that we gather together as a body, we need to put God in a place of prominence. Anytime that we are here at church, anytime that we are meeting in a life group, anytime that we are meeting for a coffee, or anytime that we're meeting for a lunch, any meeting that we have, let's put God in a place of prominence in that meeting. And begin to see the way that God moves and the way that God begins to infiltrate, the way that God begins to overtake those situations. Imagine if we did get to a place where we were always putting God first above other things. Especially here. Let's get to a place as a church where we allow the Holy Spirit to move and be present with us. I think one of the things that we have done for a long time is that we have to stay stringent on a schedule. When you stay stringent on a schedule, it's very hard to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to move because we don't let it. But what would it be like if we allowed that to happen? If we stopped getting in our own way as a church, as a congregation, and just believe and push God first and say, hey, it's all about you. Do what you want to do. It's not about our schedule. It's not about the things that we put together. But we want what you want, God. To recognize that it's not about the worship, it's not about good preaching, but it's about putting the importance on being with God. Sometimes it's easy to come to church and say, I'm just here for the worship. The worship is amazing. Tanya's the best. The worship team is the greatest. And that's why I come to church. I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing. But if that's top on your list and the reason that you're coming here, you're here for the wrong reasons. If you're coming here just to hear a good message or hear somebody dive into the Bible, whether it's Tyler, myself, or somebody else, that's why you're here, you're missing the point. It's about coming to be with God and putting God first. This one was challenging to me. Be here and ready to give Him everything. Sometimes we get into that place where we come to church and we're just like, you know, I gotta go, I'm gonna be there. But then when we get here, we're not present. We get here and we're thinking about other things. We're not focused. We're not even really thinking about God. We're just here because we feel obligated, like we have to be at church because that's what you do on Sunday. Maybe it's not just that. Maybe it's the idea you had a really rough week this week and you get here and your mind is just not here. Maybe your phone is a distraction to you when you're here. And you're not giving God everything within you while you're here to meet with Him. We as a church need to put aside any distraction, and when we are here, to have our minds, our hearts, and our spirits present to meet with God because He wants to dwell with us. He wants to be here. Are we going to waste the time that we have with Him when we come to meet with Him? Are you here for Him? That's why you're supposed to be here. Let's give Him prominence when we are here. Let's worship with everything that's within us. Don't let anything hold you back in worship, whether you have the worst voice in the world or the best voice in the world. It doesn't matter because it's about Him. Yes, I agree, Karen, because my voice is awful. That's why I sit in the front so nobody can hear me. Yeah. Yes, in front of the speaker, absolutely. I don't want anybody hearing me because you guys would be distracted. Yes, but God doesn't care. Yes. When we are coming to hear the word, let's focus. Let's begin to think on it and see and begin to pray that the Holy Spirit penetrates our lives, penetrates our hearts, penetrates our spirit. Because we're here to meet with Him. 1 Corinthians 3:17 says, "If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple." It is very important that we create and give room to God when we meet. This scripture is a harsh one, right? To think about the idea, it's saying if somebody comes and destroys the temple, that God is going to destroy them. This is warning in several different areas, because if you think about what's been going on in the book of Corinthians so far, is that there are several people that are trying to create division within the church. There are several people that are saying, "Hey, I follow Apollos and I follow Paul," and they begin to get into this kind of war with each other, and it's causing a divide within the church. This is one of the things that Paul is saying, "Hey, be careful, because what you are doing in that divide is you are destroying the temple, and there's going to be consequences." This is a warning that when we gather together, we should not be taking this lightly. When we gather together as a congregation, let's not take this meeting lightly, but let's push everything out. Whatever's going on this week, hand it over to Him when you walk in the door and get yourselves ready. Whatever sin you're struggling with, you sinned on the way here. Maybe somebody cut you off and you cursed at them, or you did something this morning and you're like, "Man, I feel guilty and I'm about to go into church." It's okay. Jesus died for that. Push it away. And worship. Don't take this opportunity that we have when we come together to meet and be in the presence of God. Take advantage of every second that you have here with Him. It's a warning to be careful of the things that we try to build on the foundation of Jesus. This is another thing to be careful of. We talked about this last week. Do you want to build on the right things? Do you want to put the right things in place in your walk with God? Do you want to put things in there that draw you closer to Jesus? Or are you going to put things in there that you're not sure? We want to have the right things in place as we begin to build on the foundation of Jesus. And again, that comes through knowing His truth. His truth is that you are forgiven. His truth is that you are loved. His truth is that He wants to see you fulfill the plan and purpose that He has for your life. But yet so often we take our walk with Him lightly, and we don't ever get in our Bibles to understand the truth. We don't understand the instructions. How can you build? This is a challenge this morning, church, to get into your words, to read it, to know it, to understand His truth. You can't be expected to continue to grow. You can't be expected to know what to do if you've never read the words. And it says here that, you know, there is judgment for those who cause division. That's a heavy thing to take on. But when we are a church that is divided, it is harder for us to come to a place where we can welcome God wholly together. We need to be a church that is together. We need to be a church that is unified, create a place where God's Spirit is welcome to be here with us. But again, it goes back to the understanding that we each individually need to understand our relationship with God and put Him in a place of prominence, because when we all individually begin to put Him in that place and have an understanding, it's easier when we gather together to be able to do the same thing together. So wherever you are in your walk with Him, you need to put Him in a more prominent place than a tent. I'm excited when we can get to a place in a church, and I know we're getting there because I'm seeing God move in a lot of different ways, that when we put God first and we put Him in a place of prominence here at the church, God is going to be doing some incredible things. It is important for us to be in alignment with one another It's important for us to be in that unity. And it is important for when we gather that we are in alignment with God. Question is, do we want our own direction in the way that we want the church to go, or do we want God's direction? I think a lot of the times we try to insert our things and say, this is the way that it should go, and maybe that's not necessarily God. When we begin to put our plans in place of His, we're in for some disappointment. When we gather together, we have the chance to experience the presence and the power of God. Right now, we as a church have the opportunity to sit, to be in the presence and power of the Creator of the universe. Right now, we are in His presence. Things can begin to happen. But are we going to get in the way? We can't allow that anymore. We can't allow ourselves to get in the way. I want you guys to hear this. As we as a church begin to experience and feel the presence of God more than we ever have before, don't we want other people that don't know Jesus to be able to experience Him too? Do we want people to come in here and feel welcomed? Yes. But do we want people to come in here and feel and experience God more? Yes. Because when people are coming to church, the difference between us and any other social setting is that people have the chance to experience God when they walk in these doors. That's what we should desire, is that yes, we can make people feel welcome, we can make them feel loved, but ultimately we want them to experience Jesus Christ and have their lives changed. This is the opportunity that we have as a church. If we can come together, like this whole series is better together, right? If we work together, if we come to a place where we are in agreement and we come to unity in wanting God first in our church, in our lives, then we can begin to see amazing things and see lives changed. And that's what our job is. That's who we are as a church. That's what we should desire for our community. When people walk in the door, we want them to be able to experience and know the forgiveness of God, to know His love, to know what He has done for them, to know what He can do to change them. That experience is powerful. When we give everything to God, it gives us the opportunity to help others experience Him too. I want to see that. I want to see people come in here and meet God for the first time. I want to see people begin to develop a relationship with Him. I want to see the weight of the things that people are carrying taken off. I want to see people come in here be able to experience the freedom of Jesus Christ. Maybe they came in here with a weight. Maybe they came in here with a last hope. Maybe they came in here with thoughts of suicide. Maybe they came in here and this was their last chance. I want them to be able to come in here and know Him. And I want you guys to know it doesn't just have to be here in this building. It doesn't just have to be when they walk in these doors, because we have the opportunity to meet outside of these walls too, right? These walls are nothing magical. These walls are nothing special. It's the people and coming together in unity that makes it special. We have the opportunity to invite people to come to a life group, right? The presence of God that meets here can meet together in a life group, right? They can meet together in a Bible study. God can hit in the Bible study. God can hit in a one-on-one coffee or a one-on-one lunch. But it's about gathering in His name and putting our trust in Him. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 18, this is the final verse, and I have one final thing I want to leave you guys with. Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. We have the ability to have the temple and the Holy Spirit dwell within us, to take it wherever we go. And it says that God is with us. God dwells within us when there's as small as two gathering together. We can experience God and take that experience out into this world, and that's what we are called to do. The same forgiveness that people can experience inside these walls, the same love that people can experience when they want to walk in here, are the same thing that we can take out to people and see lives changed in the same way. This is the calling that we have on our lives, church. This is the calling that we all have. This is the purpose and the plan that God has for each of us. This is what I want you guys to... I want you guys to really hear this. If we truly are gathered in His name, then the God that created the universe, the God that brought Jesus back from the dead, is here in this room with us right now. Think about that. And if we can grasp that idea that the God that created all things, an expanding infinite universe, and brought Jesus back from the dead is here, then God can do some amazing things here in our lives. He is here, He is present, and He wants to impact your life. Are you going to let Him? Are you going to put Him in that place of prominence in your life and allow Him to move? And He is with you when you scatter into the world too. That's the thing I want you guys to take with you, is that when we gather here together, we have the opportunity to be in the presence of God, the creator of the universe. But also when we go out into the world and we scatter, we have the ability to take Him with us, because the Holy Spirit dwells within all of us. I forgot to say it on the front end, but, you know, Gino puts all of the notes in here, so if there's things that you want to go back and look through, if you want to take these notes with you, they're all in here. Just as a reminder throughout the week to get to a place where you're like, man, what did he say? What were the passages that we went through? This is an opportunity to help you remember outside of these walls what we discuss on Sundays. Let's get out there into the world and take that experience that we're experiencing right now to others. Can we do that, church? Can we be a church that loves our community, that has a boldness to change those that around us by inviting them to know who Jesus is? I think we can do that. So let's do it. Please join me in prayer. Father God, I thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into our lives. That you sent him here to this earth to die, to be resurrected, and then through his ascension, that we could have the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. Lord, that through your sacrifice, Jesus, that you made us perfect, so that way we could have the Holy Spirit, so that way we could have that chance of being holy like you and going out there into the world and spreading your gospel, to see lives changed, to see weights taken off, to see hurting people healed, to see you just begin to do miraculous things. God, I pray that we would not be just a church that stands by and watch the world go by, but Lord, that we would go out there and we would pursue people. Lord, that we would pursue you when we are here. Lord, that we would not take this meeting lightly, but Lord, that we would take advantage of every second that we have with you to be in your presence, to worship you, to give everything, to hold nothing back, to put aside every distraction. God, I pray right now, anybody that had a hard week, Lord, I pray that you would lift that off of them. God, I pray for anybody that's struggling with a sin right now, Lord, that you would help them to see the way out, because, Lord, you promised us that when there is temptation that comes our way, that you will provide a way out. So, God, I pray that they would begin to look, that they would begin to see, and, Lord, that they would be able to run from that. God, anything that's holding us back from enjoying your presence, enjoying being with you, Lord, I pray that you wash that away. And Lord, open up our spirits to connect with you today. And God, I pray that we would carry that experience into this world. Lord, as we scatter and we begin to share, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be on us to give us the words to speak. And that through your Holy Spirit, lives would come to have a relationship with you. That lives would come to an understanding of how much you love them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.